Have you ever been in the presence of a celebrity? When my husband volunteered as a police chaplain, he was seated in a prominent place not far from the President of the United States at that time, when the President visited a local college. While visiting family members in Nashville, Tennessee, our daughter and her girlfriend met an actress, Nicole Kidman, and her music star husband, Keith Urban, while shopping at the mall. Our daughter also runs one of the stages at the yearly Alive Music Festival close by and gets to meet a lot of people in the music industry. My nephew works security at Blossom Music Center, so he sees a lot of entertainers as well. I remember seeing exercise expert Richard Simmons at the airport in Los Angeles once, and 30 years ago I sat with Gloria Gaither in her dressing room while waiting for a DJ to get there with my ticket. Oh yeah, I've been backstage to talk to the members of Mercy Me and a few other Christian bands as well. Not to mention some prominent Christian leaders. But nothing can compare with being in the presence of God. Hello, I'm Shelley Dizdar, and this is Life Along the Way, an internet radio program designed to shed some light on the everyday issues of your life. In 1995, a song written by Linda Shazzo and performed by Paul Wilbur made its way to the pulpits and stages of many a Christian gathering. Due to copyright laws, I'm not permitted to play this song for you, but here are the lyrics. In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, O Lord my God. In your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace, in the cleft of the rock. In your presence, O God. I want to go where the rivers cannot overflow me, where my feet are on the rock. I want to hide where the blazing fire cannot burn me, in your presence, O God. I want to hide where the flood of evil cannot reach me, where I'm covered by the blood. I want to be where the schemes of darkness cannot touch me, in your presence, O God. You are my firm foundation. I trust in you all day long. I am your child and your servant, and you are my strength and my song. You're my song. Seeking your face, touching your grace, in the cleft of the rock, in your presence, O God. After this broadcast, I hope you'll take a moment and listen to it on YouTube if you're able. Today, I would like to draw your attention to various aspects of the presence of God. The first aspect would be the promise of His presence. In Psalm 139, David wrote, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Such comfort in those words. And then the words of Moses to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." That was repeated several times in the book of Joshua. Joshua 1:5 says, and these were the words of God to Joshua, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, we read, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The words of Jesus in Matthew 18 say, for wherever two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. And Matthew 28:20 says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, for surely I am with you always, to the end of the very age. The promise of his presence. The next aspect is the peace of his presence. In Luke chapter 8, in verses between 22 and 24, it says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got in the boat and set out. Verse 24 says, the disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. The peace of the presence of Jesus Christ in a very practical way. I think too of the peace that Paul and Silas must have had even after being beaten and thrown into prison, where it would have been dark and smelly, and their arms and feet in stocks where they couldn't even lie down. And yet, they had such peace of the presence of God, they were able to sing. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. These were the very words of Jesus Christ in the book of John. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 7 in the New International Version says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That I know for a fact. I've experienced it firsthand, as I'm sure many of the listeners have as well. There was a time also when the Israelites were being disciplined by God, and they were under great oppression. But it was time for that oppression to end, and their discipline to end. So an angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, who was just a farmer, and he was of the least tribe of Israel, and was the least of his family. So he actually thought he was going to die, because this angel appeared to him. And Judges 6:23 says, but the Lord said to him, peace. Do not be afraid. You're not going to die. The very peace that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts, it can't be bought. No doctor can prescribe it, but only the presence of God can give it. There's also the protection of his presence. As you read the Old Testament, there are numerous situations when the Israelites were protected against their enemies. A favorite story growing up was always the story at the Red Sea, when the children of Israel were able to cross the Red Sea, and the Egyptian soldiers, who were way more powerful than them, thought they could cross the Red Sea as well after them. But as we all know, that was not the case. God protected them, and that wicked army drowned. There was also his protection when the children of Israel were going into the Promised Land. There at the Jordan River, when the water was at its very highest height, once again, the water was parted. And now that generation would see God's hand of protection as they crossed on dry land into the Promised Land. Even after that, there were instances such as in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, also a favorite story of mine, when the children of Israel were going to be attacked by various enemies who had gone together and decided they would be more fortified and stronger against the children of Israel to destroy them. And yet, the battle belonged to the Lord. And as they worshiped and as they praised, after consecrating themselves to the Lord, an angel of the Lord caused chaos, and those wicked armies killed one another, with the Israelites not having to lift a finger. I can think also of the story of when Moses held up his arms, and as he did, the children of Israel won against a way more powerful army. And that was in Exodus chapter 17. Of course, even the children sing about David and Goliath, and Daniel and the lion's den, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Yes, the protection of the disciples, though often beaten, and even Jesus himself, until their time came to die. There's the provision of his presence. In the Gospels, Jesus turned water into wine for a wedding, and also multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed a multitude of over 5,000 who had come to hear him teach. Tax money was found in the mouth of a fish in Matthew chapter 17, when the disciples had to pay their taxes. I know myself, there have been times when we have prayed because our taxes were due, whether on the house or whatever taxes might be that we had to pay. And we ask God to provide. And I'll be truthful with you, I didn't have to go fishing. But God provided for what was needed. Through various other broadcasts that you may have listened to, there are more examples of how God has provided for our family. In 2 Kings chapter 6, there's even the story of an axe head. While some men were doing some construction, and the axe head flew off and into the water. And they were given instructions, and the axe head floated, so the man who had borrowed the axe could return it to its rightful owner. You know, we're instructed in Matthew chapter 6 not to pray like the pagans with repetition of words over and over and over and over and over again of the same words. Because it says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Now, we're still told to ask. In fact, we're told that we don't have a lot of times because we don't ask. But the provision of God continues to astound me. Whether it comes from individuals that He's placed on their heart to give, whether it's through something that we get on sale, a tremendous price, I recognize God's provision in a lot of ways, not just in material things. Then there's the power of His presence. Psalm 18:12 says, out of the brightness of His presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. 2 Samuel 22:13 says, out of the brightness of His presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. When we have a storm and it thunders and lightnings, I often think of the power of our Most High God. The power of His presence to heal the blind and the lame and the deaf, to heal leprosy and fevers and a woman with an issue of blood, to restore a soldier's cut off ear. The power of His presence to deliver the demoniacs. And in Lazarus' case, even to raise the dead. As well as the resurrection of Jesus Christ Himself. I'm so grateful as I read Voice of the Martyrs and different situations that the believers of Christ sometimes have to go through. And even ourselves, as we've gone through many things that have been very difficult, the power of God has enabled us to suffer and get through it for the cause of Christ. There's also the perspective of His presence. In understanding everyday issues, in Matthew 5, we're instructed to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto us. Ephesians 5 says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. We're instructed in Matthew 6 not to store up for ourselves treasure on earth where moth and vermin destroy, but we're to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin can't destroy and where thieves can't break in and steal. We're also instructed not to fear man. Matthew 10, verse 28 says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And as you know, that is the Most High God. He's the one we're to fear. We're not to fear man. Also, he gives us perspective in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. This is in the middle of a story when the disciples have come back and they are all excited because they have been able to cast out demons. And the demon spirits have submitted to them and they think it's all pretty cool. Jesus's perspective on the whole thing, he tells them, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. When's the last time you rejoiced that your name is written in heaven? If you'll remember, even Jesus himself, when he came to this earth, he said he could do nothing except the Father tells him to. It wasn't that he was unable. It was because he put himself under the authority of God. These are issues on the perspective of the presence of God at work in our lives. Perhaps at another time we'll discuss even making the mistake of trying to believe God for our will rather than his will being done in our lives. There's also the purpose of his presence. Psalm 21:6 says, surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. Acts 2:28 says, you have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Also, the purpose of his presence not only is for our personal joy as we dwell in his presence, but Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Wow, the purpose of his presence is also to empower us, to live within us, so that through us he can do greater things than even our imagination can dream up. The purpose of his presence was often for direction or guidance. Remember the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, as the children of Israel were led by God? God also tells us that he will go before us and he will make crooked places straight. In regards to the purity of his presence, as we look in 2 Kings 22:19, it says, because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. We think of Moses and the burning bush. When he was told to remove his shoes because he was standing on holy ground. When the priests would enter in the Old Testament into the Holy of Holies, they would wear a bell and they had a rope tied around their ankle, because if they entered the Holy of Holies without first consecrating themselves to the Lord, they would die. And no one could go in after them. So the cord was tied around their ankles so their body could be pulled out of what was called the Holy of Holies, where they could enter into the very presence of God. The angels in Revelation are singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." I'm not sure when we sing this hymn or songs like Revelation's song that we really can grasp the holiness and the purity of the presence of God. In fact, Psalms chapter 5, verse 5 says, "The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong." But there also is a price to his presence. While he is with us, even to the end of the age, no matter where we go, if we really want to experience the presence of the Most High God, we need to get away. We need to spend that one-on-one alone time with him, just him, purposefully to be in his presence. In fact, his word tells us that when we seek him, when we look for him, when we look for his presence, we must do it with all of our heart. We're also instructed not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And we can do that through our attitudes and disobedience, to where his presence is grieved and tends to shrink back from us. We're instructed to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's the attitude that we're to have when we come into the presence of God, when we're realizing whose presence we are standing in. You know, the protocol for officials and those in authority is often to bow or salute or stand or applaud. So how can we not humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord? In fact, we're implored to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and then he will lift us up in his timing. Jeremiah 5:22 says, "Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence? I made the sand a boundary for the sea, an everlasting barrier it cannot cross. The waves may roll, but they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it." The price of his presence as well was Jesus on the cross, who gave his life for our sin, that through him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and be able to enter into the very presence of the Most High God. Do you realize when you pray, You are entering into the presence of the Most High God. Earlier, I mentioned that it's important when we are looking for God in a situation that we are seeking Him and looking to Him for instruction, for deliverance, for healing in specific matters. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." You know, today, in no way have I tried to exhaust all the aspects of God's presence. I merely hope that I've been able to encourage you through some format to better understand the presence of God and to encourage you in some way to take the time today and every day to spend in His presence. Not just His presence that is with us all the time, because I read earlier that He doesn't leave us or forsake us, but that focused presence where you humble yourself before the Most High God, where you seek Him with all of your heart, where you acknowledge that He is there and that He is worthy to be praised, where you enter in to His presence with thanksgiving and praise. You know, earlier I mentioned that the wicked cannot stand in God's presence. Perhaps you might say that you find yourself in this category. Perhaps because of the life you've lived or the decisions you've made. Maybe in the past you've chosen to believe that God is just some big entity way up in the universe somewhere, just waiting to conk you on the head, so you didn't want anything to do with him. Maybe you just thought God was some entity way out there that when you died, you'd figure things out and maybe see him. Perhaps you chose not to believe. Or you've believed to some level and you need help with your unbelief. If you found yourself in any of those categories, right now, wherever you are, unless you're driving an automobile, bow your head and close your eyes and simply pray this little prayer with me. And those of you who are listening, who already know God and He lives in you, pray for any of those who right now may be praying this prayer with me. Dear God, please forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Forgive me for unbelief, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Lord, I believe. Now help my unbelief. Amen. Thank you all for listening today and for your prayers and support. In just a moment, I'm going to close with the lyrics to another song. But I pray that God will richly bless you with His presence as you seek His face. Now here are the words to another song, which is entitled, Here in Your Presence. Found in your hands, fullness of joy, every fear suddenly wiped away, here in your presence. All of my gains now fade away, every crown no longer on display, here in your presence. Heaven is trembling in awe of your wonders. The kings and their kingdom are standing amazed. Here in your presence, we are undone. Here in your presence, heaven and earth become one. Here in your presence, all things are new. Here in your presence, everything bows before you. Wonderful, beautiful, glorious, matchless in every way. The presence of the Most High God.